Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm, as expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of whose program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
This is Seth Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal. Many of you will be familiar with Dave Hodges and his Common Sense show. Well, he had a winner here lately where he was interviewing one Chris Kitsy regarding the FTX fiasco. You know, the Democrats were pushing all this money to Ukraine. Well, guess what? It was being recycled. It was being laundered in Ukraine, and a whole lot of it was coming back to help the Democrats steal the midterm election. How disgusting is that? Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, key players in all of this, Barack Obama, you know, Soros, all those behind the scene who are playing the puppet, where Biden is completely incompetent. So I want to share with you a segment of this interview. As they explained, there were two distinct purposes behind the illicit activity, and the mainstream is purposely avoiding both reasons. This, he describes, as a stunning interview to be shared widely. Let's see if we can get it to play. Check it out.
How FTX was getting people roped in so they could get the regulatory approvals. And more importantly, so they could craft the law so they would become the legal monopoly for crypto. That's what they were after. So here's one email from Amanda Fisher. This is with the SEC. And so members of the staff of Chair Gensler, that's Gary Gensler, the head of the SEC. And these are the people who attended. So senior counselor to the chair. So basically, and you notice here what they say in this email, including the unique risks associated with custody of digital asset securities and the conditional no action relief, they were going to get a no action letter from the SEC. That's what this says. Now, do you know how valuable that is? That is basically what puts you into business. They can deny that to Binance or anybody else for whatever reason they want. If you get this and you're the only person who hasn't, you're going to be, you know, you'll be doing very well. You'll basically be in a monopoly position. Now, here's the other meeting that they had, which was a real eye popper. which is a meeting in person, February 2022. And you'll notice this is Jerome Powell, who is the head of the Federal Reserve in the United States. This is from his calendar. I went to the Fed website, downloaded this. It's public record. And basically, meeting from 1 to 2 p.m. in person with the chairman of the Federal Reserve. Now, I can tell you, I was on the Faster Payments Task Force with the Fed. I've done a number of things with the central banks. You will never get a meeting like this unless it is wired in and there's some very important reason why you're doing this. It just won't happen. So what I think was happening is they were in the process of drafting the regulation because they wanted to become the seed-in company, the crypto monopoly for when the Fed comes in, so that people have to have these restrictions on their crypto. Because if you have crypto and you don't have these restricted accounts, in other words, wallets that are restricted, you are going to be able to spend your money freely. And that's not what the social credit ESG system is about. It's about restricting your money so that you have to do what you're told. That's what this is about.
Now, and you're talking about BlackRock now. Do they come into play here with the ESG ratings?
It's all tied together. You know, BlackRock has Aladdin. You and I could do a show for 2 hours on that, Dave.
Okay.
It's a giant, you know, multi-headed snake. Now, remember I was talking about what the big thing that's going on here that people have not been talking about, which is Sam's mother, Barbara Fried. She created a 501c3 PAC, Political Action Committee, to influence the 2020 and 2022 elections. And what she did was they distributed partially completed ballots, 15 million of these, in these two elections. Now, what happens is when the ballot's completed, partially completed, the user, the person that they're sending it to, has to go and fill it in. And maybe they didn't fill in the vote or whatever, but it has to be nonpartisan in order to be a 501c3. It can't have the effect of favoring one party over another. And yet that's what this thing did. 15 million of these votes. So what you're seeing here is, if you want to know why these elections, all of a sudden, all of these mail-in ballots show up at the last minute, is because they have piles of these things. And that's a whole other show, too, when you get into Renbeck, which is the key thing in Arizona. They're the key company. Because what they're doing is they're scanning these things in. They actually have a patent, Dave, to scan the ballots in and reprint them with a different vote.
And a different name.
Yep.
I know how they get the names, Chris. Allow me to digress just for a second. Some of the state Senate in Arizona was onto this in 2020, and they backed off because they very quickly figured out that if the system can cheat somebody else, it could cheat them too. So shut up and just go along to get along. But what I got into was I found that the ballots were going to illicit, non-existent voters. Here's how they did it. They hacked into Maricopa County voter rolls before the election. This was never reported by Adrian Fontes, the county clerk and recorder, which was required by state law. He notified every individual and make public announcement. This was not announced to the public until after the certification date by his successor, Stephen Reicher, who's contributing to PACs who are going after and trying to destroy America First candidates. Now, this is what Liz Harris did. She was kind of like my compadre, but on the other side of things. I know about the breach. I publicized the breach. I said, this is how they got fake ballots. And then Liz Harris went to hundreds of thousands of homes with her team, and they'd go up to the door and they'd knock and they say, look, is so-and-so here? We don't want to know how anybody voted. We just want to know if they voted. Oh, that guy, Charlie Smith? Oh, he moved to Ohio 20 years ago. We bought the house from him. Or no, that was Uncle Joy, lived here before he died. He died 11 years ago. And this is how they got the names to stick on these ballots, Chris. I know this for a fact.
Well, Grandma and Grandpa were loyal Republican voters until they died, and then they switched parties.
Amazing. Chris, this is how it was done. I never knew this part about Freed. This is, I'm going to tell you, if we did nothing else tonight but this, and there's been so much already, this is the revelation of voter fraud across America. This is it right here. Was it 15 million nationally?
I think it was in swing states. It was not all over the country. Because
six swing states, 15 million. Okay.
Right. And what they did was they got resulting in 900,000 registration applications and 2 million vote by mail applications. So there's basically 2 million votes they got out of this.
I was I got a DOJ source retired, and he has the algorithms for the voting machines. I have them now too. I published some of them because I didn't think it was safe to hang on to. The Trump won in Arizona by over 1 million votes.
Yep.
Just in Arizona alone.
Mm-hmm.
And I know a little bit about Atlanta and Michigan and Wisconsin and so forth because I talked to people who do what I was doing, but I know Maricopa County inside now. I know how they did it, and now this is the missing piece. This is where the ballots came from. Do you know there were people that unsolicited got 7 ballots mailed to their home individually?
Yeah. Well, and this is the other thing that no one has talked about is the post office has these mail sorting machines. So let's say that you decide to mail your ballot in, okay? What happens is all the postal mail goes through a big giant sorting machine. These are multi-million dollar machines, very sophisticated. They have OCR that can read even the worst handwriting like mine. They can, and turn it into some usable information. What they can do is they can load a file from the voter registration of anyone at this address, if they're registered as Democrat or Republican. If they're registered Republican and the name matches, they can kick the thing out, and that's how you ended up with thousands of ballots in the trash.
They were caught in the 2020 election. Some of these postal employees were caught dumping. Do you remember that?
Yep, they were.
Yeah.
Yeah, they caught them in Sonoma County. They didn't catch the people doing it, but there's a picture, and you can see thousands of these ballots were just put in the trash. And that's the reason why conservative people show up to the polls at the day of the election, because we know that's the hardest vote to steal.
Okay, but here's what they did in Maricopa County. 1/3 of the voting tabulating machines went down when they opened, and it happened entirely in heavy Republican areas in Maricopa County. If you were living in a Democrat area like Central and South Phoenix, you had no problems. Now, here's what they did to people, and this is where the Attorney General in Arizona jumped in yesterday and wrote demand letters to Arizona, to Maricopa County. But I don't think anything's going to come of it. But this is what happened is they'd say, well, we can't accept your vote. Go to the second center and vote. Well, wait a minute. You're already registered at the one center, so they don't let you vote at the second center. And even when you got in line, here's what they did to people. At 5 p.m. in some of these centers, they came out and said, it's too crowded. You guys can't get in line anymore. We're cutting it off right here. And they denied people the right to vote. We're talking tens of thousands of people were handled this way. But the big thing is the ballots. So you're right. They can't screw with the day of. But this is just how they did it, Chris. This is how they screwed with the day of voting right here.
Well, they can actually, the only correction I have, Dave, is they can screw with the day of ballot. And
well, with the machines, protocol.
Right,
yeah.
With the machines, exactly. Because the machines are literally adding votes, you know, while after the election closes, you know, there are people who have videos of these things adding votes. You know, I've got copies of videos.
I do too. But there's no safe way to vote, is there, if you're a Republican?
No. I mean, the only thing you can do is you have to, I think what is going to happen in Arizona is that some of the counties will not certify. And I think in order to have the election certified overall, I think they have to have 100% certification. But you'll have to check the local law on that, but that's what I've heard from some people. And if that's the case, then what will happen is, and with this letter that was sent by the state attorney general, you start looking at this and you start exposing this and you start, you know, doing this. The only fair thing to do, they did it in Germany. You had a problem with their election there. They said, we're going to do another election. This one didn't work. And we're going to fix all the problems and we're going to have an honest election where people, you know, multiple people are watching the chain of, custody for these ballots. That's the problem, is that they're not following the chain of custody. They were sent through Rennbeck and they, you know, who knows what happened to them there, right?
Well, there's also other ancillary things that went on too. Like at Arizona State University, I've got scores of eyewitnesses telling me this. The president of ASU, it's important to mention, is Michael Crow. He's ex-CIA, friends with Obama, need I say more. He allowed Democratic drop boxes on his campus, and they didn't supervise. And there are stories of sororities gathering hundreds and other people gathering thousands of ballots to stuff these ballot boxes. And yet the courts in Arizona would not let these same ballot boxes for the GOP go in front of churches or anywhere else. So that was one way they did it. I could just go on and on with the stories. It was massive day of voter fraud. Absolutely. But I didn't know this freed woman was part of this.
Yep.
Chris, I'm speaking to the Arizona Tea Party in December, and they're pretty close with Carrie Lake, the one who was defrauded of the governor's position.
Yeah.
And I'm going to take some of this info with your permission, and I'm going to make it part of my presentation.
Absolutely. Now, I'm pretty sure Carrie Lake is very well aware of this. I mean, you know, they're... The issue that I see is I think people have been too nice. And you can see what happened. People were too nice after the 2020 election. Nothing happened. Nothing was done. Nothing was changed except for Florida. And you saw the results in Florida. That right there proves the fraud everywhere else. They stopped the mail-in ballots. They stopped the ballot harvesting. They created election police. And, you know, the result was that the Republicans won by 20%.
Well, they didn't stop ballot harvesting in Arizona. We have videos. And by the way, these videos are illegal because a judge ruled you couldn't videotape people voting, even if you were the required distance away, which is bullshit because you can video whatever the eyes can see. But anyway, we have cars driving up in these videos, and they're dumping dozens of ballots in at the same time. The only thing Arizona allows for is like my wife can take my vote and turn it in because it has to be a close family member, first degree relative living in the same house.
Right. And then she has to sign the ballot that she's the one who brought it in and her.
Exactly. Exactly.
We did the same thing here in California. That's exactly how we voted here.
You have hit this FTX thing is not just about money fraud, deceit, and bringing other people down and making money out of thin air or donations to Democrats. It's about stealing elections.
Well, yes. And, you know, and eventually stealing people's money. That's what this is about.
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
So, you know, let's talk about the other thing is that a lot of people don't realize this with cryptocurrencies is that the CCP in China is heavily involved with cryptocurrency.
Is that where Binance comes in?
That's where Binance comes in.
Okay.
They're basically sponsored by the CCP. And the reason I say that is because in China, you get nowhere unless you're a party member, right?
Yeah.
So like the friends of mine who are Falun Gong practitioners, they're all broke. And the reason is because they do the meditation. They follow truth, compassion, and tolerance. And what does the CCP do? They're against truth, compassion, and tolerance. And they will go and lie, cheat, and steal. To do anything to get some personal benefit. That's the CCP. And when you look at what happened in China, this is what they're trying to impose on the world. Now, there is a couple of very interesting twists here with FTX and the CCP. So the first thing was that Binance was one of the first investors in FTX. And this is right off the CNBC website. Now, the thing is, CZ, who's the person who's the CEO of Binance, you know, he's a believer in Sun Tzu, who is the famous Chinese philosopher who wrote The Art of War, right? you know, don't stop when the enemy is destroying themselves, right? Don't stop the enemy from destroying themselves. And here's a post he had on Twitter. Been like this for 2,500 years so far. And that's because that's when Xunzi lived, was 2,500 years ago. In the midst of chaos, there is also opportunity. Now, the reason I brought this up with a tweet is this is how CZ put the coup de grace, the final stake through the heart of FTX. And what happened was they also put in people inside of the company. Gary Wang, who's rumored to be a CCP agent. And if you look at his profile page on Sequoia Capital, he's apparently part of that big fund, which is a very successful fund. And it's not a normal picture of the person's face. It's a picture of them from the back. You can't see his face. Now, why would someone do that? They're trying to hide. So what he did was, my belief is that he was working for the CCP. And most people who come from China, unless they specifically quit the party, they are basically working for the CCP. So that's true of almost any business that comes over here from China. Now, the other thing is that China controls the mining, not as much as they used to, but they control the coins. And there were one of my friends on Wall Street told me this about a year ago. Four Chinese companies own over like 60% of the Bitcoins, similar numbers for Ethereum. And the reason is because what they want to do is they want to control this and put this into this new money system that's going to be created. And if they own 60% of it, they can force everything into that system. So they can basically force people who have Bitcoins and everything else to go into that system. And the CCP wants to be in the driver's seat of all this. Now, where the problem came in for FTX is that they took this investment, they bought it back. And the way they bought it back was they paid them fair market value for their investment, which was over $2 billion. And they paid it in Binance USD coins, which Binance was fine with that because they're their coins, their native coins, and FTT. Now, we don't know exactly what the split was, but it's somewhere between $500 to $1 billion is what I've been told in FTT. Now, Binance is sitting on built, let's just call it $1 billion of FTT that they think is going to potentially go to zero. So what they want to do is if you're Binance, you want to get rid of your competition. Would you pay $1 billion to get rid of your biggest competitor? Yes, you would, because you know that you'll make up all the difference because all the people who were trading at FTX, they're all going to have to move back to Binance. So they're going to start doing their trading back at Binance. And Binance is extremely profitable. As I mentioned before, that one smaller exchange, a tiny fraction of Binance, was making $1.5 billion a year net. $1.5 billion a year in profits net from a small exchange. Now, Binance gets to look at the books. They get a call from FTX. FTX says, we need a bailout. We need help. Binance said, send us the books. We'll look it over and we'll decide what to do. They looked over the books and passed in only a couple hours. Now, the reason I think they passed is because they figured, oh, we've got all of this FTT. All we have to do is put out a disparaging tweet about FTT coin, and it will tank the entire market because everyone will get spooked and sell and get rid of their FTT coin. And that is the basis, as we saw earlier, that's the basis of the FTX exchange. They issued that coin and then circulated it, pumped it up with Tether, and, you know, and by the way, Binance is all over Tether as well.
So the Chinese brought it down.
That's what happened. Now, in one tweet here, you can see, liquidating our FTT is just post-exit risk management. Learning from Luna. Luna is another one that they had to bail out, right? We gave support before, but we won't pretend to make love after divorce. We are not against anyone. But we won't support people who lobby against other industry players behind their backs. And this is because CZ has a different agenda for the regulation. And this is why my belief is you're going to see Tether and then Binance are going to be gone after by the U.S. Treasury, by the banking industry, and they're going to be in the crosshairs. So that was the end. And that's why CZ put this tweet out, was he knew he was going to dust $1 billion worth of these tokens, but it was worth it. That's why he did it.
Yeah, I get that. But, man, you think about who they're potentially hurting. Mitch McConnell and Joe Biden are on the CCP payroll.
That they are. But they already got their money. See, Mitch McConnell already got cash. He got $2.5 million of cash.
So they're out of the danger zone.
They're not crypto holders.
Okay.
They can't accept crypto for their pack. They can take cash.
Okay.
Right? So they're in the clear. Right? So that's not the problem. But there is one other beneficiary of this disaster, which is the central bank digital currency.
Yeah.
Right? So a few days after this failure, Janet Yellen issues a statement, and you can go online and find it. The recent failure of a major cryptocurrency exchange and the unfortunate impact that has resulted for holders and investors of crypto assets demonstrate the need for more effective oversight of cryptocurrency markets.
Bear in mind now, you're listening to how TXF, FTX was used to launder money to come back to the United States to help the Democrats steal the election. Dave Hodges is relating how they picked up names and addresses of people who were dead, moved out of the state, and more. And they manufactured, what, 15 million ballots around the different states? I mean, my God, that's really outrageous. This is... The Department of Justice ought to be all over this, but the Department of Justice is controlled by the Democrats, and they're not going to expose the corruption that led to their power base. We'll be right back.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Amazon banned my book so you wouldn't learn what really happened at Sandy Hook. It was a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control. Then they sued to shut me up, and the Wisconsin courts played along. I have the proof and the law on my side. What I don't have is the money. They want to do to us what they've already done to Canada. take guns, impose tyranny. It's on the way with Remington's help. First insurance, then registration, then confiscation. I'm asking SCOTUS to stop it. GiveSendGo.com, funding Fetzer. Check it out. This is for all the marbles.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Revolution Radio, every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Right about now, Maricopa County Board of Supervisors is having a meeting to certify the election of Katie Hobbs as governor of Arizona, which is a manifest absurdity. She had no followers. She held no rallies. She didn't campaign. She didn't debate. But she's Secretary of State. She only showed up 19 days the whole year last year for work. 19 days. And the people of Arizona are going to vote her governor. Only 17% of the votes cast were for Democrats, and yet she got over 50% of the vote. This is one of the cases that demonstrate conclusively, leaves no doubt about it, the election was massively stolen using these machines, and the Democrats and every other serious student of politics knows it was stolen, but nothing is being done about it. The Department of Justice ought to be swarming all over Maricopa County. They ought to be seizing all those machines. The FBI ought to be there. But the Biden admin has weaponized the DOJ, has weaponized the FBI. The FBI has been perpetrating frauds right along. The DOJ has been protecting the Democrats right along. You had James Comey protecting the Anthony Weiner laptop for Hillary in 2016. But the rural vote was so massive for Trump, even though the election was rigged for Hillary, and I guarantee you it was rigged for Hillary, Trump prevailed. Well, they couldn't let that happen again. So they took additional measures, even though Sidney Powell made an early tweet, of Trump having won red from coast to coast 410 electoral votes in 2020, including even California and Minnesota, which I had predicted were going to turn red. They had the suspension of the count. That's when they use the opportunity to figure out how many votes they have to subtract that were cast for the Republican and how many votes they have to add to the Democrat to make it come in. Does anybody think Joe Biden actually won? I mean, every group was opposed to Biden. Everything Biden has done has been horrific. The idea of bringing him in and then prevailing in the midterm is about as manifest absurdity as anyone in politics has ever seen. Newt Gingrich, for all his flaws, is a pretty good vote counter. Newt Gingrich was talking about picking up 5 seats in the Senate. I figured it could be 4 or 5. He was talking about 45 or 50 in the House. Well, James Carville has said we saved, meaning the Democrats saved 57 seats in the House because of Trump. People love Trump. People are moving to the right. Catholics moving to the right. They're appalled by the extreme position on abortion up to the moment of birth or even after. You got a governor of Virginia who's promoting infanticide. Remember, even under Roe, any abortion after the second trimester when viability occurs that is other than to save the life or the health of the mother is murder under Roe. So even under Roe, what the Democrats are advocating is murder if it's not to save the life or the health of the mother. And God knows infanticide, how grotesque is that? So Catholics were massively turned off. Hispanics. Most Hispanics are Catholic. They're equally turned off and appalled by the massive migration, millions coming over the border and giving a red carpet treatment. If we only had the policies of Mexico, we'd be overwhelmingly better off. You cannot migrate into Mexico unless, number one, you can show you have something to contribute to the good of Mexico. Say you're a dentist or a doctor or a lawyer or a pipe fitter. I mean, for God's sake, you have to have something to show you have something good to contribute to Mexico. None of these migrants coming across our border can show they have something good to contribute to American society. And number two, you must have the financial resources to support yourself and your family in Mexico. You must have the financial resources to support yourself and your family. These migrants coming across the border have no financial resources. It's a Biden policy is to flood America with 100 million migrants. It's to destroy the culture of America, to make us a polyglot nation from a racial point of view. It's just to destroy culture. These people aren't even going to learn English. They're going to be a drag on society. The quality of life of every American is going down the sewer. Before your very eyes, going down the sewer. My God, even white suburban women, which make up 20% of the electorate, were going to the Republican Party. Even white suburban women like Donald Trump and don't like Biden. Nobody likes Biden. Why would anyone like Biden? He's some kind of pedophile, hair stiffer children, has naked showers with his own daughter. And I'm telling you, the corrupt acts of him with Hunter and his brother Jim. Tony Bobulinski blew it all open long time ago, even on Hunter. He almost jumped out of his chair when Biden, during the debate with Trump, said he never had any business dealing with his son. Tony Bobulinski was just appalled. But that's what the Democrats do. They lie, they cheat, they steal. They can't win elections if they don't steal the vote. They cannot win. And for James Carville saying, yeah, we saved 57 seats because of Trump, how insulting is that? Trump has created a populist version of the Republican Party. Maybe it deserves to be a whole separate third party. Because God knows the establishment Republicans like the Mitt Romneys and the Mitch McConnells have nothing but contempt for Trump. Why? Because he spoils their gravy train. The establishment on both sides of the aisle. This is the party. This is the reason why so many say there's no difference between the parties. Well, there's an enormous difference between the party if you factor in Trump. He brought us a surging economy. He shut down the border. He made us energy independent. He saw the lowest earning wage earners see their wages rise at the fastest rate. That's a hell of an accomplishment. And Biden came in and he undid every bit of it. His very first act was to cancel the XL pipeline and withdraw permits to drill on federal land. And the whole idea of this Green New Deal is absurd. Electricity, electric cars, they don't have the towing capacity. They don't have the traction. They take hours to recharge. You can refill your tank in about 5 minutes with gasoline, and then you can get hundreds of miles. With these electric cars, you got to stop, you got to recharge, you got to sit on your thumb. A trip from Casper to Cheyenne, Wyoming, that should have taken 3 hours with an electric vehicle took 15. Electric cars with these massive batteries, if your battery goes out, you're stuck with like a $20,000 bill for a new battery. And the cars to begin with are in the $50,000, $60,000 range. Who the hell can afford that? It's a stupid plan, incredibly stupid, and it has no basis in the first place. Joe Olson, who's a simply brilliant engineer, qualified in four different categories of engineering, and I have done a series of critiques about the Green New Deal and global warming. It is a complete and total fraud. The claim is that CO2 warms the atmosphere and brings about the decay of the glaciers, and we're going to get a rise in the ocean. It's all total bullshit. Just to give you an illustration, over 600 million years of Earth's history, there is no correlation between CO2 and the temperature of the Earth. You can have more CO2, less CO2. The Earth can be warmer, cooler. Earth goes through periodic warming and cooling phases. But CO2 has nothing to do with it. The fact of the matter is, CO2 has a cooling effect on Earth in four different ways. CO2 is indispensable to photosynthesis and the production of water and oxygen. CO2 is indispensable to life. I mean, this is so incredibly stupid. Even when there's a correlation, virtually imperfect, as between vaccines and autism. So the more vaccine, the more autism. The less vaccine, the less autism. Big Pharma has argued there's no causal correlation. It's just a coincidence. Well, it's no coincidence. In fact, the use of these vaccines is increasing at such a rate that the predictions are that by 2050, half of our kids will be autistic. And the companies, the big corporations, like that. Why? Because autistic kids are better at repetitive activity without boredom. They can just do it over and over again, and they don't get bored. They don't get restless. They don't raise questions. They don't go on strike. And now you got this great reset. There are too many people for them to manage. They got to bring it down to a manageable level so they can have, say, a half a billion serfs and slaves to serve the masters. And they think they're going to do all the rest with robotics? Let me tell you, this is an ill-fated scheme in the first place. I've done a lot of work in the area of AI, computer science, and all that. And I'll just tell you, frankly, there are always going to be unknown variables. There are always going to be interventions that are throw things off. They're not going to have the resources, the manpower to keep the robotics going. It's a stupid plan. But they bought into the technology. It's sad to say, but modern technology, could include the use of computers, automation, robotics, AI, are being used to control and manipulate us, to control and manipulate us. These voting machines are a perfect illustration. What the hell good are they? If there's something like a computer or an automatic voting machine can do, it is to count votes. It's the simplest possible computer program. You take a number n and you add 1 to it to produce a new number n plus 1. All you have to do is to repeat such a simple routine over and over again in the different categories. when they tell you that their software is proprietary, you know something is wrong. There's nothing proprietary about a program for addition. These should be the simplest possible programs you could have. And we know professors from Princeton and Stanford have demonstrated again and again they can hack these voting machines in less than 5 minutes, less than 5 minutes. And they're not supposed to be connected to the internet, because that means anyone can get in there and hack and change the vote. But they allow them to be connected to the internet. So you have two illustrations that this 2022 midterm was massively stolen. And by the way, when Carville says they saved 57 seats, that means they stole 57 seats from the Republicans. That's really not all that extraordinary, all things considered, because Barack Obama in his first midterm lost 63 seats in the House. Barack Obama lost 63 seats in the House, and he didn't have all the luggage of Biden of being cognitively incompetent, of making himself a fool, shaking hands with the air, mispronouncing incomplete sentences, stumbling, the whole absurd shtick that goes with this Biden character. He didn't have soaring crime. He didn't have massive migration. He didn't have an economy dealing with inflation and prices, gas, the whole bit. Biden has even gone so far as to drain our strategic petroleum reserve to keep the price of gas down so it wouldn't affect the midterm. Well, they didn't have to worry about the midterm. They were going to steal it anyway. So in two sides of the country, you have stunning illustrations of the theft of the election, the one in Maricopa County, to which we shall return, for this meaningless twit, Katie Hobbs. She has no virtue. She's a valley girl. She has no functioning intellect whatsoever. She's not even qualified for a president position. As I've already observed, she has no followers. She didn't debate. She didn't campaign. Why? She didn't need to debate. She didn't need to campaign. Maybe she looked across the country to Pennsylvania and saw what happened, and John Fetterman finally was induced to engage in a single debate. Dr. Oz wanted to have four or five. But Fetterman's handlers very cleverly kept him out of sight. It was basically a basement operation like we had with Biden in 2020. Keep him out of sight. No one turned out for rallies for these people. As I must have shared before, there was a joint appearance between Kamala Harris and Joe Biden in Phoenix shortly before the 2020 election. You know how many turned out to watch him? I mean, Joe's appearance, right? That's got to be a huge draw. The number who turned out was zero. 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 And you're going to tell me he won this greatest number, over 80 million votes? I mean, how long are we going to be playing? How long is it going to take us to realize we've got to junk those goddamn machines? Get rid of the voting machines. They were introduced to steal elections. And now you can see they've gone wholesale. They found techniques of manipulating the votes by millions of votes at a time across the country. After Fetterman debated Oz, and you remember the opening question directed to Fetterman was, Mr. Fetterman, what, I think he was actually lieutenant governor. What are your qualifications for the Senate? He said, hi, good night, everybody. And it went downhill from there. The polls after the debate showed 82-83% felt Oz won. Fetterman's stock dropped. The polling just showed a devastating drop like a rock. For Fetterman, why would anyone want a guy who's so cognitively incompetent and soaring for Oz, and yet Fetterman won? Give me a break. Don't be an idiot. So you got Katie Hobbs, who's actually just a fantastic package, intelligent, articulate, knows the issues on top of it, great in debate, master of the media. Who's going to vote for Katie Hobbs? And how could they possibly have won if only 17% of the electorate was Democrat? How could Katie Hobbs get over 15% of the vote? She could not. So even an attorney general of Arizona, assistant attorney general, is making inquiries. They were supposed to happen today to respond by 9:30 to questions about the election. Prior to certification, what did the Maricopa County do? They moved up their meeting to 8 a.m. this morning. In a stunning and impossible upset, Democrat Katie Hobbs allegedly defeated extremely popular conservative Kerry Lake in the midterm gubernatorial. Katie Hobbs did not campaign, did not have a major following, did not hold rallies, and refused to debate. Hobbs was able to win the election after she somehow won over 50% of the post-election ballots, despite Democrats have only a 17% turnout on election day. It was a miracle for Hobbs and her fellow Democrats. Over 25 to 30% of the tabulators were not working on election day when Republicans had at least a 72% of the turnout. This is the definition of election interference. It is the election of the definition of election suppression. It is, I add, the definition of the theft of an election. If America had a legitimate Department of Justice, they would have been in Arizona. The election already would have been disqualified. They did it in Germany just last week, redoing an election of 2021. Berlin, requiring a revote. The Maricopa County election official were served with a subpoena to provide election records by 9:30 a.m. today. So Maricopa County official moved their planned 9:30 a.m. meeting to 8 a.m. today. They don't even hide their deceit and fraud. They really don't care. Republicans believe they were dealing with honest Americans. Once again, they were fooled. Here's Dr. Kelly Ward tweeting. What are these guys hiding? I've been told they've been served a subpoena to provide election record by 9:30 a.m. on Monday, and they changed their meeting to 8 a.m. today. Kerry Lake. One-line statement after race is called. Despite predictions she would lose the Arizona governor's race against Democrat Katie Hobbs on Monday, Republican Kerry Lake has held her ground. She wrote on Twitter, Arizonans know BS when they see it. And the amount of BS here is simply overwhelming. Well, guess what? And this is InfoWars at its finest. The Arizona election could be nullified. If the voting machines in Arizona and other states were not certified, like an expired driver's license, the vote they tabulate were not legally valid. We may have recourse to undo the massively stolen 2022 midterm election. Listen to this. Michael Schaefer joins host Owen Scheuer on the Alex Jones Show to break down how the Arizona election could be nullified. Listen to this.
So if you have an uncertified machine and you put a ballot through it, is there some way an uncertified machine can create a certified vote on the other end? You cannot. And so if these are uncertified ballots, you cannot certify an election. People may go through the motions, they may play and act, but lawfully, it's an uncertified election. And this is serious business, not only in the state of Arizona, but with every state across the United States that has adopted the HABA Act, this same problem applies because it's the same voting machines and it's the same test labs. There are only two test labs that do this, so it's the same two test labs that travel around the United States to certify voting machines, and if both were expired, then the proof permeates across the United States, and this is something that I believe can change not only our election, but other states' elections, but people have to take a look at the laws, and in the case of Arizona, it's Arizona Revised Statute 16-442B as in Bravo. 16-442B as in Bravo says that the voting machines must, not shall, must be certified. They must be certified. Well, by who? By an accredited test lab. An accredited test lab. Not an expired accreditation, but accredited. And these labs were not. And this can turn into, I think, a great blessing for our country. And we pray that this information gets out, people come to understand it, and we'll do something about it. And the people need to stand up. It can't be just five guys on the front lines. The people have to stand up about this fact and bring it.
All right, Michael Schaefer has been looking into some of the anomalies leading up to and during the election in Arizona, specifically Maricopa County. And he joins us now to discuss what it is he's found. And I do believe, like I had been saying, there will be a little bit of a fight in Arizona. Definitely Carrie Lake's campaign pushing back, but other investigative journalists, analysis are finding some odd stuff too. And that's why right now they've even said there were so many problems, they're going to pause certification. So Michael Schaefer joins me now. I mean, Michael, all the anomalies, the voting machine shutting down, the people being turned away. I mean, what is the biggest story right now from your perspective out of Maricopa County?
I think the biggest stories, Owen, and thank you for having me, are ones that can lead to the nullification of the elections, not only in Arizona, but as many as 34 other states that support the Help America Vote Act, known as the HAVA Act. I think the solutions, the path there is the most important thing we can be talking and hear about.
So talk about that, because that's not something that I really hear much about.
Appreciate that. So I happen to own a laboratory which is accredited to the ISO standards, the same standards that the test labs receive an accreditation to. They have another accreditation that pertains to the HAVA Act and the EAC, the Election Assistance Commission. And if we go back in time, 2018, their accreditations had expired when the testing and voting machines were certified. So if you're not accredited, you can't certify. If your accreditation has expired or you don't have an accreditation, it's just like if you and your girlfriend go to your neighbor and say, will you marry us? And he's not a pastor or chaplain, but not married.
We'll be right back.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
That the Capitol will ever treat us fairly. You are lying to yourselves. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. The time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence. the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio.
Amazon banned my book so you wouldn't learn what really happened at Sandy Hook. It was a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control. Then they sued to shut me up, and the Wisconsin courts played along. I have the proof and the law on my side. What I don't have is the money. They want to do to us what they've already done to Canada. Take guns, impose tyranny. It's on the way with Remington's help. First insurance, then registration, then confiscation. I'm asking SCOTUS to stop it. GiveSendGo.com, funding Fetzer. Check it out. This is for all the marbles.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, the theft of the election is a big, big deal. I want to turn to an additional, well, a few more minutes of what we're hearing here. This is Alex Jones at his best. And by the way, I've tweeted to Elon Musk to encourage him to reinstate Alex Jones, explaining he wasn't wrong about Sandy Hook. And if you want to be supportive of my efforts, and you're on Twitter, retweet. Take a look what's coming from @JimFetzer, and retweet. Those you think that are significant. There are quite a range of issues to choose between. I'm a big fan of Marjorie Taylor Greene. I'm following Elon Musk. He's doing a great job here promoting freedom of speech. And I think it would be wonderful to reinstate Alex Jones. And you'll see, I offer proof because I've tweeted, and you want to see this. Noah Posner celebrating his 8th birthday. Count the candles on the cake, which is pretty good for a kid who died at the age of 6. So I'm explaining to Musk, Alex didn't get it wrong. All these lawsuits, of course, have been massively fraudulent. I sought to intervene in all three of the Alex Jones lawsuits, but I was not permitted. I was precluded, where I wanted to explain that there's been no judicial determination that anybody died at Sandy Hook in any of these lawsuits. They've all been decided on procedural grounds, by stipulation, by assumption, by default. In the case of Alex Jones, he's supposed to have not complied with some form of discovery, and yet even Robert Barnes, who was actually in the classroom, in the courtroom, where he explained he'd never seen a courtroom like this one, where there were three different cameras, one focused on the jury, that it looked to him like a made-for-TV movie. Could not find anyone who could identify what failure of discovery Alex Jones had not satisfied, which was a ground for the judge to declare him in default and guilty of a liability for defamation against a fake Sandy Hook parents in the very first, involved the plaintiffs Neil Heslin and Scarlett Lewis, who, to the best of my knowledge, aren't even married, where Neil Heslin claimed that he held his son Jesse in his arms as he died. And yet Wayne Carver, the medical examiner there during that bizarre press conference during which he observed in passing, he hoped this didn't come crashing down on the good people of Newtown, because he knew the whole thing was a fraud, said the parents were not allowed to come into contact with their children. You can find it. You can find both these statements online. Check out Neil Heslin and his remark about holding his son Jesse in his arms as he died. Check out Wayne Carver saying the parents weren't allowed to come into contact with their children. Well, if the parents weren't allowed to come into contact with their children, then Jesse Lewis cannot have held his dying son, and Neil Heslin cannot have held his dying son in his arms. And if Neil Heslin held his dying son in his arms, and Wayne Carver, the medical examiner for the state of Connecticut, can't be right when he said the parents weren't allowed to come into contact with their children. In fact, they identified the children on the basis of photographs. In the most part, they were fabricated. They were made up kids, and the few that were real kids were given fake names. Averill Richardson, for example, was actually Lenny Urbana. Lenny Urbana had a very distinctive birthmark across the top of her forehead. Lenny Urbana actually sang at the Super Bowl. She's supposed to be dead. Noah Posner celebrating his 8th birthday. He's supposed to be dead. Some of the parents even used photographs of themselves as children to be their lost ones at Sandy Hook. I mean, this is so insulting. This is so outrageous. Completely unbelievable. So if you want to see a tweet that'll blow you away, go to @JimFetzer and check out my tweet to Elon Musk and retweet it. Retweet any you see there. What I'm putting up is so important. I'm asking for your help in getting the word out. And let me mention, State of the Nation, bless its soul, has declared my petition before the Supreme Court, which will be in conference on Friday, may be the most important issue to come before the Supreme Court in our lifetime. State of the Nation may be the most important issue to come before the Supreme Court in our lifetime. Why would they say that? Because it involves your Seventh Amendment right to a trial by jury, which, due to a set of peculiar historical circumstances, the Supreme Court has never declared to apply to all 50 states. I would have been unaware of this, but for opposing the taking of my blog, my original at jamesfetzer.org, the taking of my blog at jamesfetzer.org and the book Nobody Died at Sandy Hook, which was done improperly in the circuit court here in Madison, Wisconsin, or according to the statutes of Wisconsin, a financial judgment, in this case $450,000 for a purported defamation of one Leonard Posner, can only be satisfied by a monetary judgment. Well, intellectual property like books and blogs are not money. They aren't money. So according to the statutes, they have to be converted to money, held by appointing a receiver, and a receiver then takes bids. How many bids would they have got for Nobody Died at Sandy Hook, where I brought together 13 experts, including 6 PhDs, and we established the school had been closed by 2008. that there were no students or teachers there. There had been a FEMA drill to promote gun control, where we even found the FEMA manual for the event, which I included in the book as Appendix A. Believe it or not, subsequently, I have a copy of the Connecticut State FEMA out of Bridgeport, which had right on their schedule the FEMA drill at Sandy Hook on 14 December 2012. It's right on their schedule. And in my application now to the Supreme Court, I have both the FEMA manual as Appendix B, the Connecticut State schedule showing it was right on their schedule as Appendix C. You can download these to your own desktop. If you go to the State of the Nation blog or go to mine at my James H. Fetzer, because I created a new successor blog. So you can no longer, if you go to jamesfetzer.org, you'll be directed to the court records about the case and the taking, which, by the way, is another manifest absurdity of the taking itself. It wasn't for a proper purpose of satisfying a financial judgment. It was to kill the book. It was to kill the blog. They took the blog the very day, the very morning that in the Alex Jones case, they were starting to trash all the Sandy Hook skeptics, including yours truly. Where one of the producers was asked to read an email from Paul Joseph Watson, whom I've in the past thought was a good guy, saying we got to keep as far away as possible from that batshit crazy Fetzer. Batshit crazy Fetzer. Well, somebody hearing that might say, well, I wonder what that batshit crazy guy has to say. They might want to go to his blog. They took the blog so they could block it, so nobody could learn, because it's a vast repository of information about Sandy Hook, then on jamesfetzer.org, now on jameshfetzer.org. So they blocked it. I mean, this was all very cleverly contrived. They're doing their best to keep information about what really happened at Sandy Hook away from the public. That's why the book was banned way back when. Within a month of its publication in 2015, the book was banned by Amazon.com. I'm pursuing legal action against Amazon because I'm convinced they were acting as an agent of the United States, of the government. And that's not permissible. There are some other suits going on here that make the same point, that the social media, and this is now in relation to the COVID and the vax, have been acting in concert with the government, with the CDC, with the FDA, with the NIH, to suppress information about the debilitating, even deadly effects of the vax. They don't want the public to know. But this is a First Amendment issue, because the government isn't allowed to do that. The First Amendment specifically constrains the United States government from interference with freedom of the press and freedom of speech. Also, freedom of assembly and freedom of religion. The first is terribly important to a functioning democracy. If you don't have freedom of speech and freedom of the press, the public cannot be properly informed. They don't know both sides of an issue to make informed judgment, even about elections. But the Democrats are kindly preempting that. They are not even worried. We don't need to know because they're deciding for us. They're stealing one election after another. This is grotesque. So my case raises the question of whether the summary judgment procedure in Wisconsin, which allows a judge to use his own subjective opinion to decide what evidence is reasonable or not, and if the judge decides it's unreasonable, then he can just set it aside as though it did not exist. So he found the FEMA manual I discovered to be unreasonable, set it aside as though it did not exist. FBI Consolidated Crime Report for 2012 showing for Newtown, of which Sandy Hook is a suburb, at the intersection of murders and non-negligent manslaughters, the number zero, zero. No, that wasn't relevant either. And I had two forensic document experts testifying that the death certificate, whose authenticity was in question, was fake. Nope, those weren't reasonable either. He found those unhelpful, just set them aside. They never even established I'd done anything wrong, that there was any flaw in my research. And indeed, I had a couple of arguments that I discovered from learning more about death certificates were not well-founded, but my conclusion was perfectly sound. And now I'm under a court constraint. I can't even reaffirm what that conclusion was. I mean, how absurd is this? And the Wisconsin Court of Appeals upheld it. They said it's reasonable to believe the official account Adam Lanza shot 20 kids and 6 adults. They even quoted Neil Hasland, saying he held his dying son Jesse in his arms. The Wisconsin Supreme Court, Court of Appeals for the 4th District. And in a successive paragraph, they said it's unreasonable to believe it was a FEMA drill, which was run, you know, as a fraud, where they had to have the rehearsal on the 13th and then treated live on the 14th, even though I had a mass of evidence, porta potties already in place, sign everyone must check in. It says right in the manual, everyone must check in with a controller upon arrival so they can be paid. Pizza and bottled water available from the firehouse. So many wearing name tags on lanyards. That's how FEMA identifies the players, by color-coded name tags, parents bringing children to the scene. None of this did the court find to be reasonable. I mean, I'm telling you, that means everyone in Wisconsin who's subjected to a summary judgment has been subjected to a defective procedure that denies their right to a trial by jury. Because, you see, if the judge can simply rule that these claims, these facts are unreasonable, then there are no disputed facts. What should happen in the case of a properly conducted summary judgment is you take all the plaintiff's assertions. Mine. Nobody died at Sandy Hook. Here's a FEMA manual. FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control. Here's the FBI consolidated crime report. Here's a defective final report from Stephen Sadinsky III that fails to establish a causal nexus relating the shooter, his victims, and the weapons he is alleged to have used, which therefore was a total forensic failure. His fingerprints weren't on the .22 caliber rifle with which he's supposed to have shot his mother. Of the 150 slugs they found, they couldn't tie any of them to the weapon he's alleged to have used. Now get this, before the Supreme Court, we have an additional Appendix E, which is a sworn affidavit from Brian Davidson, a licensed private investigator who's gone into the Connecticut State Police photographic files. They were recording everything. And he's discovered that the photographs taken by the Connecticut State Police do not correspond to the report the Connecticut State Police have on file down the hallway where the principal and the school psychologist were supposed to have died, you know, and there's supposed to be a pool of blood. There's not only no bodies, there's no pool of blood. You know, in the classroom where you'd expect to see a stack of bodies, there's not only no bodies and no blood, there aren't even any student desks or chairs. So what he discovered is not only no evidence to substantiate a mass murder, but also evidence to substantiate it wasn't even an operating school. And he concludes that his findings are more consistent with there having been a FEMA drill presented as mass murder than with the official. That's all before the Supreme Court of the United States Friday. Check it out. You're going to be blown away. This has been a long, tortuous journey to get to this point. But there it is. We'll see what happens Friday. Not only will they consider Friday, but then Saturday and Sunday, I'm hosting my False Flag and Conspiracy Virtual Conference 2022, all available by the internet. From the comfort of your own home, 24 speakers, 26 presentations over 2 days. But you have 6 months access to the presentations. I agree, it would be a lot to soak up. 26 presentations in 2 days. But you don't have to do that. You get a ticket, you can pick and choose, you can watch it over 6 months, over 6 months. Let me tell you what's on the agenda. The speakers, Saturday, 3 December, 9 a.m. Central Time. Holly Seeliger, Central Bank Conspiracy, 10 a.m. Central Time. Nick Kohlerstrom, Euro Terrorism, 2004-2017, 11 a.m. Central. Joe Olson, Debunking the Green New Deal, noon Connecticut, noon Central Time. Miriam Hinane, False Flags and Media's Lies, 1 p.m. Central Time. Joaquin Hagopian, The Genocidal Agenda, 2 p.m. Jim Fetzer, The Death of Democracy, 3 p.m. Central. Ron Avery, You and Sandy Hook in SCOTUS, 4 p.m. Central. Alexander Baker, You Have No Rights and There Is No Law, 5 p.m. Central Time. Alex Scott, Solving False Flags with Music, 6 p.m. Central. Dina Pollard-Sachs, COVID-19 and the Law, 7 p.m. Central Time. Fred Luchter, The Missing Gas Chambers, 8 p.m. Central. Brian Davidson, Connecticut State Police Archives, 9 p.m. Central. Catherine Horton, Human Wrongs and Rights, Sunday, 4 December, 9 a.m. Central. Carl Herman, Everything is a Lie, 10 a.m. Central. Monique Lukens, Exposing George Floyd, 11 a.m. Central. Michael Keane, Viral RICO Crimes, noon Central. Nick Holerscomb, The Novichok Hoaxes, 2018 to 2020. 1 p.m. Central, Edward Hendry, The Pandemic and the Facts, 2 p.m. Central, Russ Winter, The Turtles on the Fence Post, 3 p.m. Central, Giuseppe Papangulo, None Dare Call It Genocide, 4 p.m. Central, Donald Jeffries, Hidden History and False Flag, 5 p.m. Central, Brian Davidson, Masonic Signs and Signals, 6 p.m. Central, Sarah Westall, Promoting the New World Order, 7 p.m. Central. Scott Bennett, Bio and Chem Labs in Ukraine, 8 p.m. Central. Ole Domegaard, The Shoes of Death Tour, 9 p.m. Central. William Benny, You're Not Supposed to Know. Check it out. Live conference broadcast through the internet. But you have it available to you from the time of the conference until the 4th of July, June 4th, 2023. I mean, listen, I think this is terrific. And there are two types of tickets. One allows you with that access on two devices for 6 months, and the other allows you access on two devices for 6 months, but also puts you in the Zoom room where you can put questions for me to pose to the speakers at the end of their presentation. You'll be right there in the chat room. You can put them right into the chat on the Zoom call. So check it out. See if there's something that would work for you. Go to jameshfetzer.org and click on events. And go to False Flags and Conspiracies 2022. jameshfetzer.org. Click on events. Meanwhile, I encourage you, go to Twitter. Go to Twitter. Check it out. On Twitter, at Jim Fetzer, you'll see I'm putting up a lot of very important stuff about gun control, about false flags, about JFK, about 9/11, about Sandy Hook, even about the False Flags and Conspiracy Conference. Check it out. Meanwhile, we're going to take your calls during the last segment. 540-352-4452, 540-352-4452. Mitchell will field your call and we'll get you on the air. Let me just say, one of what I'm tweeted has to do with research by John Lott Jr., who used to do research for the FBI. And what has he discovered? That the FBI fudges their data. So armed Americans have been able to defeat criminal acts as much as 50% of the time. They try to minimize, make it act as though it's rare. It's not rare at all. It happens about 50% of the time. Just know the idea, taking guns away from law-abiding citizens is absurd, simply absurd. In fact, my dear colleague, Dr. Ewan, imposed a 2016 electoral map over a 2014 murder distribution map. And guess what? The overwhelming preponderance of murders are occurring in just those cities that are controlled by the Democrats, because they take away the guns from law-abiding citizens and create free fire zones. Free fire zones that mean the perps don't have to worry about whether they're going to be confronted by some nosy civilian who can stop them dead in their tracks. John Lott Jr. is reporting the FBI is fudging the statistics, but what else would we expect from a politicized FBI? Just as we have the Department of Justice that not looking into the massive theft of these elections. It is grotesque. Brought to you by the Democrat Party, which is anything but democratic. They need to change their name. It's a swindle. It's a hoax. It's a fraud. We'll be right back.
Like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Revolution Radio, every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it?
that the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes. That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building. Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons, and the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
We have a familiar voice at the other end of the phone. Paul from California, join the conversation.
So, what are you proposing now that we tweet our way out of this?
It's retweeting. Yeah. The point is, the more people who know what's really going on, Paul, the better. People, in order to take appropriate action, have to know the score, the situation they're in. And too many Americans have been baffled and bamboozled because of the censorship being exercised not only by Twitter, but by Facebook, YouTube, Amazon, the whole bit. You know, they've all been massively disallowing the American public to know the other side of the story. So that's all I'm encouraging here, because I got a lot of information on the other side of the story.
No, I know. I'm aware of our current predicament. I'm trying to make a little mockery, because I think you know how this will end, and sooner or later, it's going to come down to, you know, what has to be done. There's no tweeting. There's no election reform. There's no none of that. I'm just singing the same song. So, are you ready? Are you ready now to join the National Justice Party? You know, it's the best substitute we have for the Nazi Party, the National Justice Party. You can join.
There's a National Justice Party. Tell me about it, Paul. Yeah. Are you an officer?
I'm not an officer. But no, these are the guys. They're behind Fast the Nation, right? You ever heard of that broadcast before?
No. Tell us more. Just lay it on us, Paul.
I'll send you the link. This is as right wing as you get. This is the right stuff. Okay, actually that's part of it too. But yeah, this is the National Justice Party, and these are the same people that have been behind the Fast the Nation broadcast. They've done probably now going back years. I think it's getting close to 500 broadcasts, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, it's as national socialist as you can get. Tell them the truth about the world that we live in. And, you know, it's as hardcore as I can find, or as close to being, you know, where I'm at. And so, yeah, you know, you can become more familiar with it another time. I can't, you know, run it down to you, but I basically gave you the thumbnail here.
Okay. Good. Now tell me, Paul. Does anyone of your acquaintance believe this last election was legitimate? Does anyone believe it?
Well, you know, I know very few people that really pay attention to any of it. There's only a couple I can think of that I would even discuss it with in terms of politics. And they're both on the spectrum of where I'm at. One is not that educated, but he's conservative. Sorry about that siren.
That's okay.
I'm talking about it out of the store. And the other is very, very right-wing conservative, and he knows it was stolen. I would imagine most people, I think I've mentioned it a couple times here and there, There hasn't been any pushback. So, you know, it's a general knowledge. I think most people are resigned to the situation. And, you know, there's going to be, you know, a lot of passivity out there because the average person shrugs their shoulders and says, well, what can I do? I mean, in many ways, I'm the same way. What can I do? I can't stop these people from, you know, believing what they believe. I can't stop people from taking the vaccine, you know, being, I mean, I've, you know, you've heard my calls going back 5 years now. So,
Paul, I couldn't even stop my own family from taking the vax.
I know. There's, in my opinion, there's a chasm between several groups of people. You know, I would say at least two, pardon me, main groups, and then there's some other subgroups, and I don't think the chasm is reconcilable. Even if they're presented with all the facts and the evidence, which is available to those who want to look, as I've said many times, and I've said it in a condescending fashion to many people, it's like, do you not have the internet? Have you not looked into this? You know, this has mostly been about the pandemic and the phony, you know, the phony vaccines. But a lot of people are just, you know, there's that cognitive dissonance what they speak about.
Yes.
And there's just really, there's no overcoming that in terms of you or me telling them. It's something they have to realize on their own. And a lot of them are just not going to make the effort. And even if they did make the effort, they have that built in, you know, that inability, if that's the word, to suspend their disbelief. You know, a lot of people just are just not capable of thinking that all these things going on are meant to do us in or to do us harm. They're really, I mean, believe me, I've heard it all my life, and it still exists. I think it's getting a little better because of the internet and because of some of the fraud and the lies are coming to the light of day. But, Jim, I've always had people say to me such things as, oh, I don't believe that, or why would they do that? I mean, you've heard these, I've heard these things, and that sentiment is still out there amongst the normies. I still see the mask wearing going on out here. I don't know if there's some scare in the mainstream media because I don't pay attention to the mainstream media, but is there some recent variant scare or some surge? Because there's a whole big line across the parking lot at Kaiser, people waiting to get tested, and I haven't seen any lines in that parking lot for months, and all of a sudden this morning there's a big old line of people driving in through the drive-through test.
Mitchell is saying triple damage. Mitchell, go ahead and join. What do you think's the explanation here? Join us.
Well, they're claiming that we're in a triple demic situation where we have COVID along with the normal flu season's back. And of course, RSV, respiratory sphincter virus or sphincter virus.
Yeah, RSN.
Yeah, they're claiming that that's a triple pandemic. That's the new fear mongering.
Yeah, so the only reason I know about this is I've heard it on the speakers at stores. For example, if I go to a general store like a Target or a pharmacy like a Rite Aid or CVS or a supermarket, like any number of chains out here, Safeway, Lucky, they play it all the time. Every time I go in, they're pimping the vaccine for COVID or get your flu shot or respiratory syncytial virus. So they're pimping any one of three vaccines and, you know, even the latest COVID variant. The syrupy ads are disgusting, Jim. You should hear them. They'll talk about, oh, this is specifically designed for the latest variant. You know, people believe this shit. It's just unreal. And you know what? I saw in person a couple of fags, let's be honest, a couple of homosexual guys getting the shot at a CVS pharmacy. I just happened to be there down the aisle looking at some other stuff, and I'm right next to the counter, and there's some Indian pharmacist injecting this one dude, and, you know, they got mask on, and, you know, they're yucking it up like, oh, see, that wasn't so bad. Oh, that's nothing. I mean, it was almost like, oh, no big deal. Everybody should do this, you know? And so I just delivered my line. I said, as I was within probably 6, 7, 8 feet, I just go, hey, congratulations, you just got poisoned. And the looks I got was priceless. You know, it was worth it for the looks I got, you know? And, you know, that's it. Well, you know, what can you say? If I had met them out in the parking lot, I don't know them. And I said, hey, are you going in there to get a vaccine? Whatever you do, don't get it. You know, what do you think my odds are of talking anybody out of it? You know, not that I really would care to. I mean, if I know somebody, like if I knew your wife and I knew she was your wife, believe me, I would prevail upon her with all my might. But the average person, I do not care. And I think it's the worst thing in the world that they're living, because they're part of the chasm. Okay, these people make the tyranny possible. These people that are trying to rule us are nothing. I mean, you've seen what they look like physically. And I mean, all these people in the government that they're pushing forward, I mean, they're zeros, right? I mean, we have zero to fear from, you know, Anthony Fauci or Merrick Garland or Klaus Schwab or any of these idiots. But we have everything to fear from our fellow Americans and our fellow politicians who either believe this shit or are going along with it. You know, it's a problem, and it's going to have to get dealt with sooner or later.
Yeah, Mitchell talking about a trip Danica stupidity, ignorance, and retardation, which is pretty close to the mark, sad to say.
Well, have you heard some of these things when you go into a supermarket? I don't know if you have a chain supermarket there, but I was talking, for example, the other day to Richard Carey, and he remembers when he was in Chicago, he heard him in the stores there, and he now hears him in Florida. The same repetitious, you know, how they got sometimes they got the music and then they have announcements. And almost every time I go in a store, they're talking about get your latest vaccine for the COVID variant and also get your, you know, respiratory syncytial virus and or your flu shot and speak to your pharmacist. This is like continual all the time for more than a year and a half now.
Yes, yes, yes.
So they're never going to stop. That's my point, is it's still ongoing. They're still beating this dead horse, because the horse ain't dead yet, and they're never, ever going to let this go. This is going to be a get-your-shot agenda, get-a-vaccine agenda, along with, and I fear, I don't know when it is they're going to try it or how much they're going to push it, but the digital, you know, currency. I saw a sign today when I went to Whole Foods. I just grabbed some food from the hot food bar, and right outside, it's like Amazon One. Now, there's some kind of program called Amazon One. Pay with your palm. And I can take a picture of the sign for if you want, and I'll send it to you. But if you're familiar with this, apparently they
pay with your palm. So instead of having a credit card, you can just use a palm print as a way of charging directly to your account.
Yeah, it shows. It got like a little illustration of somebody putting their hand over a scanner and paying with the palm. So, of course, as we all know, well, if you're not a good boy, maybe they could turn your palm off.
Yeah, that's right. Sure, they can shut down your account any way they want. I think all this digital currency is very, very dangerous. Once we go digital, I think it's all over, because your whole life is then under control. They can cut off your money anytime they want. You want to gas up your car, they don't want you. They want you to go electric, they'll just shut you down. I think this whole Green New Deal is one of the worst stupid ideas of history, but, you know, it's part and parcel of the whole reset. Go ahead, Paul.
I'll send you a link to I sent this out. I'm not sure if I sent it on with you on a mailing list, but Harry Vox from 2014 calling all this out, predicting this back in 2014, talking about basically what they want to do and what's coming. And when you said when they do the digital currency, it's all over, I would say, well, no, it's just beginning. It's all over but the fighting. And some people are going to fight. Now, when they go for this, when they try it, you can be pretty sure that they have, you know, planned and waited for the right moment, whatever they feel the right moment is, okay, where resistance is going to be minimal. And so they're going to continue with their conditioning, because that's what they like to do, is, you know, condition and condition and condition. Incrementalism until they feel, okay, now's the time, right? Just like they rolled out the so-called pandemic in 2020.
Yeah, yes.
But they may miscalculate. We'll find out how much they miscalculate. But I think there's enough people that are awake that they're not going to put up with it, because all they got to do is tell us, oh, you can't use you can't use your bank account anymore, or you can't use your currency. Your cash is no good here.
Yeah,
and that'll be it.
Yes. Oh, I think you're right. How's Harry Box get to be so smart? How does he know what the hell is coming? Because I even featured something he did recently. He seemed to be a pretty sharp guy.
Well, I guess he's been at it a long time. He's been around a while, and after, you know, I mean, you see the patterns. It's like, how did I know the minute that they tried this crap in March 2020 and Gavin Newsom gave his shelter in place address? How did I know it was a bunch of BS? You know, I didn't know all the particulars. I mean, I had no inside knowledge. I didn't know, you know, the entire game plan. I just knew it's just a bunch of crap. So how do any of us know? Some of us have better perception, Jim. You know that.
Yep. Well, very impressive. I appreciate that, Paul. I'd love to see what he was saying in 2014. That's fascinating. Did you see where we had a Charlotte native shot 7 times during the Club Q massacre? Listen to this. The dude walked in with an AR-15 and started shooting. I got shot 7 times in the back. I fell down. He kept shooting me. I got up, ran to the back door. I hopped on a table to climb the fence. I think it had barbed wire on top of it. I'm not sure. I'm doing amazing in my recovery. I got shot 7 times in the back with it. Paul, I mean, this is such monstrous bullshit. I mean, where do people come? Does anybody believe this happy horse shit?
You know, there are people that believe it. I mean, come on. You know, he got shot with marshmallow bullets or something, right?
I mean, this is ridiculous. Just effing ridiculous.
Did you happen to see? I think I sent it to you. Did you happen to see Miles Mathis' paper on this Q shooting there in Colorado?
Oh, you know, I hadn't had a chance to read it yet, but this is the very one we're talking about. Give us a brief. What did Miles have to say about it?
Well, it was only 3 or 4 pages. It didn't take him long. But he showed,
right.
One of the things that he, besides looking into the names, you know, in other words, the named victim or the named perpetrator and the circumstances about it, you know, what you call the circumstantial evidence, he showed a picture of this bar. And it basically looked like a run-down, old, abandoned building. And he goes, okay, so this is like the upscale gay bar, the gay nightclub for a city this size. And he said, Colorado Springs is no small town. I think he said it was like 500 or 700,000. He goes, that's not a small place. And you would think that with, you know, a thriving population, that the gays would have a better place to party. I mean, literally, Jim, it looked like a really bad truck stop, mini market rest stop type of situation.
Well, that's what they did with the Pulse Club in Orlando. The permit had expired 3 years before. That's when it was repainted from white to black. It had been closed for 3 years. And they just use these. It's like the school at Sandy Hook. It had been abandoned, it turns out, back in 2006. I mean, it's ridiculous how they're pulling these stunts, and the American people are fed all this complete bullshit, and a lot of them buy it. I mean, it's just ridiculous, Paul.
Well, the ones that would, you know, look at it, I mean, what are they going to do? I mean, all they're really showing us, I mean, most people, as you probably know, except they're retired people, okay, most people that are living their lives, working, doing whatever it is they're doing, they're just going to catch little sound bites. They're going to catch news clips, right? Or they're going to hear about stuff. They're not going to look at any details. No, they're going to question any details, and they won't know any details. And that's all they count on. So they just make this crap up. It's all low effort. I mean, Sandy Hook was a pretty good production. You gotta give them that. It was a production. But some of these things are just low effort, low energy crap that falls apart immediately. Like I said, you know, Miles Mathis can write some pretty lengthy papers, and I've read quite a few lengthy things he's done.
Yeah,
but you know, he didn't need any more than a few pages for this one because it's so ridiculous. It is
ridiculous. We had that at Parkland too. We had two girls, Maddie and Samantha, who were shot. Maddie allegedly in the stomach and chest with an AR-15, and the doctor, obviously a fake, said those were serious wounds with a large caliber bullet when it's a small caliber. And he said, but young people heal very quickly. I mean, if you were shot in the chest or the abdomen by an AR-15, you'd be very, very dead. and Samantha's walking around claiming with band-aids on the AR-15 wounds to her legs, which would have shattered the bone. I mean,
that's funny. You know, they heal quickly. They're going with that.
I know. It's just absurd.
And even I don't know that much about ballistics, you know, and guns, but I've heard enough. I've heard enough shows and been around that I know rifle bullets are much more deadly or injurious than handguns. People are much more likely to survive a handgun than a rifle. And, you know, it's just like, good God. You know,
well, the vast majority of murders in the U.S. are committed with handguns, but I understand even more are committed with bare hands, people strangling or beating one another to death. That's the number one cause of death in the United States, not guns at all. But rifles are very rarely ever used, Paul.
This is a terrible epidemic of violence across the country, Jim. We need murder law reform. We need to have murder law reform to deal with it.
We got so many damn laws on the books. I mean, it's ridiculous. And we got one absurd. I mean, this Q Club thing is just ridiculous. And clearly it was modeled after Orlando. But it's even more conspicuously fraudulent. I mean, there's just nothing reasonable about it. No one ought to believe this bullshit.
Nope. And I don't. And I generally don't pay any attention. But I do recall seeing headlines, back to my earlier question about is there some kind of thing. I should have paid more attention, but I believe over the weekend when I was at the store, I saw the paper. A lot of times I'll look at the newspaper, but I generally am not going to pick it up or buy it. But I saw some headline about, high infection rates or infection rates soar this winter season, something like that. So,
but they publish a lot of shit that bears no resemblance whatsoever to the reality. I mean, it's just ridiculous. Everything they're doing, trying to induce people to take a shot that may very well kill them. By the way, a very good study I published recently on my blog showed there are two peak points. Either if you don't die within 2 weeks of getting the vax or have a serious adverse effect, then about 5 months later, you have the most serious effect. Well, since Stu Peters, did you see Stu Peters died suddenly? It's sensational.
No, I've not watched it. I heard it.
Oh yeah, I've watched it. Wow, you should see the strings. They call them blood clots, but they're not made out of blood. They're these long fibers. I mean, they're several feet long. They're pulling out of bodies. And the morticians and the funeral directors have never seen anything like it before. And it's because there are these microorganisms in the shots that produce this stuff in your body. And they just show people dropping dead right and left. It's very powerful and convincing. You really want to watch it, Paul. It's a doozy. Stu Peters doing a good job with that. Good job, Stu.
I've heard good things. People have talked about it. But yeah, I saw that blood clot stuff many months ago when it first started coming out, and they had, you know, various, BitChute and other places. They had interviews with some of these morticians. And I think I first saw a nice little interview on one of those things on Sophia Smallstorm's blog spot too, where there was she posted a. Yeah. So this is people have known about this for a while, but I've not seen a compilation video, which is probably very powerful. And I definitely will indeed check it out.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is just devious and diabolical beyond belief. And the idea that at this point anybody could think that there's any medicine in vaccines, that there's any kind of, you know, medicinal quality and that they're going to help us. It's just, that's the problem that we have, you know, that these things exist and that these companies exist and they're funded and they're indemnified and they're promoted, and it's just this awful construct, and it's just not going to go away. And there's no real politician that I've heard that has called it out. Not Trump, not DeSantis, not, I don't know about what's her name there in Arizona, but Carrie Lake. I don't know any of these people that are really fully and properly calling out this evil vaccine agenda, because that's what we're up against more than anything. And even the testing. I'm sure you've seen the videos about how there's a nefarious agenda behind the continual testing. I was working at this job for a while before I, I got fired again. And, you know, the guy told me that, yeah, that was during the COVID period that they were being tested weekly. This was just like a security guard job, but, you know, this guy was saying, yeah, everybody on the job site during a certain period of time, I think it was like for many, many months on end, they were tested weekly for COVID. Now, you know, I wouldn't have put up with that shit. Just like you and I wouldn't do a lot of things. Just like you and I would never be Wayne Carver and stand up there and tell a lie as a grown man. I wouldn't play along with your BS.
I know.
I guess, yeah, the problem is I'm not unique, but I know I'm in a very small percentage of people where, and most of my life, I haven't given a shit, Jim. I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
Say, oh, you're going to fire me? Go ahead. F you. I'll get another job. You know, it's just a matter of, it's just a sort of an attitude that you carry from a very young age. I don't know when I first started asking the question, how do they know that? But I was certainly asking that question around 9/11 when they were saying all these things. I'm going, how do they know that? Like when they put the pictures up of the 19 hijackers, I go, where'd they get those pictures from? I mean, that's the first thing I thought of. I knew nothing. I knew nothing else. But when I saw the pictures on TV, I go, those pictures had to come from somewhere. Where do they get those from? And how do they know to match the names with the pictures? Right?
Yeah.
I mean, they come over. You know, to me, I just saw the whole thing of logistically impossible. I mean, I've dealt with government. I've dealt with the DMV. I know how things work. And it's like, okay, they got names from a passenger manifest, and they said, okay, this name looks Arabic. Let's find a picture for it. I mean, I couldn't fathom in my mind how in a couple of days they came up with 19 names and 19 pictures and said they did it. And I just go, this doesn't make sense at all.
Yes.
And
yes.
I'm a college dropout, okay? I'm not any rocket scientist. But
Phil, anyway. Paul, I can't thank you enough. An excellent call today. You take care, my friend. I'm very pleased you call in. Everyone, check out my Twitter. If you're on Twitter, check out @JimFetzer. And if you see something worth retweeting, take advantage of the opportunity. Thanks for being here.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven. Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here, Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyal? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me,
give me liberty! Oh, give me!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence...